growing up, I experienced a great deal of poverty, and I was homeless off and on throughout my life. In my teen years, when I was experiencing homelessness, I started doing underage survival sex work, which is labeled as child sex trafficking. And so a lot of my work has been around issues of agency, autonomy, sexual violence, and just trying to really take a survivor-led and trauma-informed approach to these issues, because I feel like our social services lack that and can actually be more traumatic for the populations affected by the sexual violence that accompanies poverty.
Why are you running for Congress?
Because I didn't see anybody qualified to represent me or other working people. I didn't see anybody speaking about the issues that I believe are important in our district. We have such high levels of poverty, housing insecurity, food insecurity. We have low wages. I really, health insurance is such a huge problem. Like, these are life and death issues for working class people, and I'm not seeing other candidates speak about them in ways that I find reassuring.
What are going to be the issues that you focus on most closely over the next 6 months, 12 months?
So I actually like to take a holistic approach to the issues, because I believe all of these things are very much interconnected. So when we talk about environmentalism, for example, we need to talk about ecological justice and housing discrimination and who winds up in more polluted environments and how does that affect their health. Like, all of these things are connected, right? So really, a lot of other politicians sort of take the concerns from the people at the top, and then maybe they get to the concerns of the people that are marginalized eventually. I'm taking the opposite approach. Basically, the concerns of the people most affected by decades of bad policy, those are the people that are informing my work regarding policy. And so while I have some things that are deeply personal to me that I want to work on, I really view myself as somebody that is working more for a movement than for my own political agenda.
Can you contrast yourself with the other announced Democratic candidate in the race up to this point, Betsy Londrigan?
I try to be very specific about housing insecurity and health care. I believe both of those things are human rights. And that's part of the reason that I'm running, is that when I hear people talk about affordable health care, affordable is an amorphous term. I currently am in a position in which I have quote unquote affordable health care, and it's not affordable, right? Like, I can't afford the co-pays. I can't afford the fees for specialists. I can't afford premiums. And I don't think that Betsy understands what's affordable for the people in our district. We have 60% of our district eligible for SNAP, for example. And Betsy's version of affordable does not reflect my version of affordable. It's too amorphous. It needs context. And I stand firmly in the belief that healthcare is a human right, and we need access to healthcare.
So if healthcare is a human right, what should Congress do to make healthcare more accessible to everybody?
Fight for single-payer healthcare.
How do you get that through Congress? What is the argument you make to folks who are skeptical of that idea? They're scared in some way by an idea that big.
On the world stage, many of the countries that have single-payer health care are considerably healthier populations than the U.S. The only people that I really know who are afraid of these ideas are people that have been reading a lot of information that's coming from industry lobbyists that has been very much influenced by, like, pharmaceutical companies and that sort of thing. I think there's a misconception that healthcare actually costs as much as we are forced to pay, and that is a lie. So I think if people are concerned about how we pay for it, I think we need to talk about ending the corruption that we have in the pharmaceutical industry, in the health insurance industry, And that is probably a really good starting point.
Well, earlier you mentioned that you see issues as very interconnected. So when you think of the environment, you think of ecological justice and sort of associated issues. Specifically on the environment, that is an issue a lot of our listeners care deeply about. What are things that you would want to see a Congress pass, the next Congress pass, if you were to win and join that group in the beginning of 2021?
I think the Green New Deal is very important. I also support policies like the Homes Guarantee that has components of like energy efficiency and addressing environmental pollution built in, right? So I feel like we need to address the environment at every intersection. I'm displeased by this notion that this is an individual problem, that somehow we can recycle our way out of it, that we could just use a different type of plastic or switch to, you know, mason jars instead of Solo cups. I think that really obfuscates that the people who are doing the most damage to our world have a great amount of power. And they're not being held accountable when we shift the burden to individualism. So I think the biggest thing that we need to do for the environment is focus on collective action and movement.
So what are the parts of the Green New Deal proposal that you like the most?
Honestly, I really like that it addresses infrastructure, because that fits in with one of our big issues that people in poverty face, which is low wages, right? So I really feel like when we talk about these policies, when I talk about holistic policies, you know, we're looking at this from an economic justice perspective as well. So I think one of the most exciting things about the Green New Deal that I think gets sort of glossed over is that I believe that there is truly the ability to revitalize our economy in a way that benefits working class people.
What do you make of Congressman Rodney Davis's tenure so far in the U.S. House?
I am really disappointed lately with his support of Donald Trump and his take on impeachment. I think that the farm bill has not helped our small farmers in our region. I think that the lack of transparency in his office, the fact that he does not come to our region to actually discuss issues with his constituency, I think that's horrible. Our elected officials are there to represent us, and I believe that he is failing at that task.
So how would you win in a district like this? You know, the 13th district is, well, it's huge, first of all. It touches on a lot of college towns. It's also very rural. It's a very tough district for either party to win in. How would you go about doing that?
I just follow my heart, honestly. The driving ethos behind what I am doing is that I will not do anything that violates someone else's human rights. And I think that that message speaks to people. To me, this is less about winning. It's less about competition and more about connection. I believe in leadership through service. And so for me, I'm not looking at this as something where I need to win against Betsy and Rodney in the traditional sense that politics is framed at. As I'm looking at this as an opportunity to demonstrate to the people of my district that I want to serve them, that I would be honored to represent them, and that they have the right to make an empowered choice when it comes to choosing their representation. So for me, like, how am I going to win? Well, that's not up to me. That's up to everyone else. And I think it's really important that when we talk about democracy, we get rid of this sort of war language around it, because it's about what the people need and finding representation that respects that.
Or who are some elected officials, you know, past or present, that you look up to, that you would want to emulate or be like, should you win?
I have to say that 2018, while a disappointing election for my district in terms of Congress, has been really exciting in terms of the squad, right? We've had so many groundbreaking congressional runs in 2018, and really that inspires me. That makes it feel possible for me. I think prior to seeing that, I believed that, and this is still predominantly true, but I believed that politics was a rich man's game. You know, the sort of people that have been allowed access to those spaces, even on more local levels, are incredibly privileged. And it has always felt like people were making decisions about me, not for me. And in 2018, I finally felt like I was seeing real representation come out of some of these congressional races, and that's very, very exciting.